Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah, chapter 23. What a great prophet the prophet Jeremiah was. What great truths we find in the books of the Bible that God allowed him to write, in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentation. Jeremiah, chapter 23. We're going to highlight the chapter. We're going to be reading verse 1, then we're going to drop down to verse 9, down to verse 14, and then drop down to verse 22. So just follow with me on this. So if you'll stand, we'll read the Word of God together. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 helps us to understand this chapter as far as who he's addressing. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Now look down to verse 9. Jeremiah here speaks, it says, "Mine heart within me is broken. Because of the prophets, all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome. Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem and horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." Drop down to verse 22. "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophets that have a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be assembled here today. We know that based on your promise that you're here in the midst with us. And Lord, we know that we have before us your written down and preserved word, the Bible. And Lord, as we look into this book of Jeremiah this morning for the message that you have for us, I pray that you'd give each one of us an ear to hear what you have for each one of us to hear. Ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. You may be seated. What a powerful chapter in the book of Jeremiah. And what revelation that it brings to us today as we look to what Jeremiah is saying concerning the acknowledging of God and how they're living their lives. Now, before we go any further in what I'm going to be preaching in chapter 23 of Jeremiah, I want to read to you what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote to the New Testament church. He wrote it to the church at Corinth, but which is a letter that was written to all believers and to every New Testament church. He says this, let me just read it to you. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." So you shouldn't be ignorant of Old Testament Israel. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Okay, so that was Christ, a mystery in the Old Testament. "Now these things," he says, "now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." He said, we've recorded the history of Israel as an example, even to the New Testament church. He says, "Neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of destroyers. God judged their sin," is basically what he's saying. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, living examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." No doubt we find that Paul writing to the New Testament church, and he says, you have an example. The entire Old Testament is an example to you. The nation of Israel, it represents the very children of God and how God worked and dealt with them as they lived on this earth, especially as they come out of Egypt and they cross the wilderness and going to the promised land, which would have been acknowledging the perfect will of God for their lives. And all that took place in their lives, we have the example to learn from. Okay, so we know that. Now let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah is revealing some things that took place in the nation of Israel. He was a prophet that served during the last 40 years of Judah. Now, Israel went into captivity, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, before the southern two tribes went into captivity. And so we find here that Judah is known, still Israel, but the southern tribes, as we have that divided kingdom in the Old Testament. So Jeremiah prophesied during the last 40 years of Judah's freedom, and then several years after their Babylonian captivity. The book of Lamentations reveals him lamenting over what took place as they were taking into captivity. And what we read here in the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah revealing to the nation of Israel what he sees concerning what God's revealed to him and what they were doing and the direction they were going. And in what they were doing and how they were living and the direction they were going was going to bring upon them the judgments of God, which would be the captivity that they would eventually go into. So that's what we have here. We have Jeremiah's writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, written down, preserved for us to learn from. Jeremiah reveals that Judah had been following after false prophets, which would include, as he mentioned, this idea of pastors or shepherds. Now, all three of those would have been those who were supposed to represent God. They were supposed to help the people by letting the people know what God had for them, what God says to them, how God would have them to live, the very truths of God. Now today, praise the Lord, we have the completion of the Word of God. We have the Bible here that is God's love letter to humanity, God's love letter to His people. We know exactly what God says. We are not dependent upon a priest, or we're not dependent upon a pastor. We're not dependent upon a prophet. Each and every one of us have the written down Word of God to know the ways of God, to know what God says, no doubt. They didn't have that then. So they were more dependent upon what the prophets would come to preach. And thus saith the Lord. And what the pastors or the shepherds, those that were over them to care for them and minister to them, and how they would minister to them and how they would lead them. So we find in chapter 23, he's addressing those false prophets, pastors or shepherds. And he says to them the very first statement, then we read, that's why we read verse 1. He says unto them, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Basically, God is not pleased with you. You're not following God. And yet you're telling the people that you have a message from God when God has not given that message. And you're directing the world, you're directing my people to live in such a way that is not pleasing to me. As we would read that entire chapter, you'd find that all that is coming out. And the very first thing it says, realize woe unto you. God is not pleased. Because Jeremiah was listening to God, he could see what was happening. Even though society was being blinded to it. Now get a hold of that. Because Jeremiah, now he was hearing the very same things that the other prophets were saying, the false prophets. He was hearing what the so-called pastors, he was hearing what the shepherds, he was hearing what all the other so-called representations of God was delivering to God's people. Because Jeremiah was walking with God, because Jeremiah was actually listening to the God of all creation. Because he was in touch with God, he could see what was taking place in society. The message and title would be Jeremiah's message to us. God's message to us through Jeremiah. And if you look there in verse 9, after Jeremiah acknowledges that God has, he says, woe to all of these, and he reveals what's taking place, he says, my heart within me is broken. Jeremiah is walking with God, and Jeremiah sees what's happening in society. He sees what's being preached. He sees how man is being led astray. And his first response is a broken heart. God's prophet was overcome with this broken heart. He goes on and says, because of the prophets, all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome, because the Lord and because of the words of his. Because I see what God wants. I see God's message. I see what's taking place. I can see the spiritual battles being fought, and I can see the spiritual battles being lost, and I can see people going in the wrong direction. And he says the first thing that it did to Jeremiah, who was walking close to God, who understood the ways of God, who knew the Word of God, he says, it just broke my heart. Because Jeremiah knew God's will, how it should be, as he viewed society, it overwhelmed him inside. As we read Jeremiah and we read the book of Lamentations, we find him weeping quite often. because of what he knows and because of what he sees. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. See, we find that some even thought that Jesus was Jeremiah reincarnated. In the New Testament, they said, Jesus asked, "Who's the men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're Jeremiah." Now, they said that because they would acknowledge that he had such a compassion for people, that he wept over the conditions of humanity. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among them. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." He's doing everything that needs to be done, but then he looks at so many and realizing that there's such a great need. "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Can I tell you the conditions of his day and the conditions of the day and age that we're living in now are not much different. And if you're walking with God, if you know the Bible and you know the God of creation, you see, it's affecting you more than it would affect somebody that didn't know the truth. More than it would affect somebody that didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. Look in verse 10. Go back with me. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 10. "The land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth." Adulterers and sexual sins. I can't recall in my lifetime a worse condition than where we're at right now. And the sexual sins of our so-called Christian nation, let alone the world. I can't recall a time when society was so tolerant and accepting vulgar language. What used to be restricted on radio and what used to have guidelines on television as far as just the language that is being used. The reason there was restrictions, the reasons why they did not want that kind of influence over society is because of God and what God says about taking his name in vain and what God says about vulgarity. Can I tell you that at one time we had these kind of restrictions and it wasn't all that long ago. And today, even on public television, it's unreal what you'll hear. Hard telling what kind of commercials you'll view. And it's only getting worse. Sexual sins, vulgarity, vulgar language, evil lifestyle. And their course is evil, and their force is not right. If you have any Christianity in you, if you have any Christ-likeness in you, then you look around and you say, this shouldn't be. Verse 14. "And I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and a horrible thing, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers." They're strengthening the hands of those that are living this way and telling them that it's all right. And you have a right to choose your lifestyle. You have a right to live in sin. You have a right to speak however you want to speak. That's what he's saying. He says, they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. There's no repentance, and there's no restraints. Could that not be said about the society that we're living in today? And this is right before they went into, God judged them right before they went into captivity. I believe it's right before we go into the tribulation period. I really do. In studying the book of Revelations and seeing what it's going to be like, it is just like it was then. And our society is going in the very same direction. And if anyone has an eye to see what God sees and an ear to hear from the Lord, and you look around and you see what's happening in our society, and you have a close enough relationship with God that you know what God's will is, and you know how God would have us to live, and you see this, how can we not be heartbroken? How can it not affect us like it was affecting Jeremiah? And I wonder, are we as concerned as we should be? Do we weep over our society? Are we looking at society like Christ did and said, oh, pray. If you see what I see, you're going to pray and ask for there to be more laborers to come into this harvest. When I see people totally blinded and giving themselves over to sin, I get mad at the devil. But when I see people, my heart breaks. Because I know what they could have. I know the blessings of God. Amen. I know the joy of the Lord. Amen. I know the peace that they can have. And I see them going in an opposite direction. I'm thinking, if you only knew what I know. Not because of who I am, but because of the knowledge of the Bible that I have. And I want people to come to that understanding of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want people, I have a desire for people to get saved, because that's the only way that they're going to see things as God sees things. That's the only way that they're going to come to the place to realize that is wrong and this is right, and I need to stand on the side of righteousness. They have to have the very mind of God. They cannot have the mind of God without having the salvation that Christ offers. Even in the church, many times throughout the 29-year history of the church, I know what happens after high school. And I've seen it over and over again. Different names, different faces. But the same kind of attitude. And the same kind of dress that follows that attitude. And when I see that sometimes in our young people, I don't get mad at you. I get brokenhearted. Because I know where it's going to lead you. I know how Satan works. I know that it's spiritual battles. I know we're not ignorant of his devices. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And when I see it, can I tell you? My heart breaks. Because I know God's heart breaks. Begins with attitude. Begins with attitude. It goes into a dress and appearance and a desire to associate more with the world than the things of God. And that's a direction that Israel was going. And not only do I see it in our teens, I see it in adults. It's so exciting when I see adults come and get saved, and you start seeing them start changing their life. There's so many of you out here that I just, when I go over the prayer, when I go over the membership list, and I just know how God worked in your life and how God used this church, and now that you're seeing things the way God wants you to see things has changed your life. And can I tell you that I'm shouting and rejoicing up here as I go over the membership list over so many that are here in this church. And then I go come across some that I used to see that. And now I see an attitude change. And I see a direction in associations. And I don't get mad at you. It gets me in here. I know what Jeremiah is writing. I understand it because I know that he had the heart of God. He was one that was looking to God and wanted the people to know God and to know the things of God and to know the ways of God. And when the people were going a different direction, it broke his heart. If you love God and you see what God sees and you see others going a different direction, listen to me. It is God in you that's going to break your heart and it's going to hurt you because you know what it's going to do to them. Jeremiah could see what was ahead because he knew God. Even though society was blinded. And we find Jeremiah weeping. I wonder how many hours, or maybe even minutes, we weep over our society and the direction that our nation is going. It begins there, a broken heart. And then we find God reveals through Jeremiah what could have been done. What could have been done. And I believe as we look to this, what could have been done, it's what should be done today by all those who have a broken heart. But all those that are actually walking with God, and you can see where we're headed. Verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Circle that. Underline those verses. What a powerful, powerful truth that God has brought to us by way of the message of Jeremiah. What could have been done? Can't change past generations and what was done. But we can make an impact on our generation. First and foremost, for those whom God would call to be used and called by His name. In the Old Testament, it would have been, and they were somewhat, the people were limited because they did not have the completion of the Word of God, and they did not have access to the holies of holies. They had to rely upon the prophets, and they had to rely upon the pastors, and they had to rely upon the shepherds. They had to rely upon the priests and those that could come in contact with God, that God would speak through, that they were to stand before the people and say, "Thus saith the Lord." They were dependent upon that. Today, we're not dependent upon that. Today, every one of us will give an account of ourselves because God has revealed His Word to all humanity. And so if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, who are they today? See, today, Acts chapter 1, and verse 8. What could have been done by those that represent the Lord? Who are they? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Those who represent God today would be those that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gave His Spirit to dwell within us, and we are sealed into the day of redemption to give us power to what? To do what? To be a witness. Gave us power to stand where we ought to stand and represent Christ as we ought to represent Christ. Listen to me. Every one of us today that have trusted the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, if you called upon the name of the Lord and if He saved your soul, He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He has enabled you to stand where you need to stand. Amen. If they would have stood. If they had stood in my counsel, it would have been different. I truly believe the ones that are most responsible for the direction that our nation is going is not the president. It's not the Congress. It's not the Senate. It's God's people. How do we allow society, when we have the Bible, we have God's holy word, how do we let society dictate to us where we're going to stand? That's inexcusable. To truly know God. Now the world, most of society, they don't believe in a creator God. If you're saved, you know that there's a creator God. If you're saved, you know that God has preserved His word for us today. If you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is revealing to you the truth, and you have to block it out to go the opposite direction. Know who is to represent God today. If you're saved, it's you. Young people, every other teenager around you ought to be able to see Christ in you. Don't we blame it on the other person. No matter what the other person did. Don't we blame it on somebody else that led you astray. Listen to me. You have the Word of God. You ought to stand. We have more young people taking the stand that God wants you to take this youth department. It would be unstoppable. This youth department would make a difference in so many other young people's lives that are going a wrong direction. You could be an example that would make a huge impact. And not only in our young people's lives, but in the adults as well. Every member of this church, you represent Christ and you represent the Lighthouse Baptist Church wherever you go. And if you stand where God wants you to stand, if you know the counsel of God and you look to represent God in what you say and what you do and your actions, listen to me, we would turn this city upside down. We have people from this church going into every area of this city, and your influence should be that which would impact this world to know that there is a God. And we're going in a wrong direction. If they had stood in my counsel. I believe if you lived here in Indianapolis, we'll stand before God and give an account for Indianapolis. Amen. Because that's where you had opportunity to impact. You give an account for how you impacted for good or for evil your family. Your friends, your neighbors. begins with a broken heart. Stood in his counsel. All today who are saved ought to stand in his counsel and cause to hear. God's counsel is the Bible. We need to stand here. We shared a little bit of this on Wednesday night. John the Baptist was called the prophet of the highest. No higher call than to represent Christ, who would be the highest, which would be God. There's no higher call, there's no higher responsibility that we have as Christians than that in representing Christ. If you represent Christ, you can have an impact on your generation. You can have an impact on our society. You can have an impact on Indianapolis. If you represent Christ as you are to represent Christ and stand in his counsel, the Word of God. Yeah. Stand. Whatever the Bible's for, I'm for. Whatever the Bible says God's against, I'm against. It's easy as that. Amen. If it's Bible, then it's truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Care who that man is. I want to stand in God's counsel. And the cause to hear. See, we need to present God's word to the whole world. You can't, I'm not saying you can't force feed it. But if you have it and you have an opportunity, a door, step through that door. Take advantage of that opportunity. Matthew 28, will not turn there because of time, but the Great Commission was given to the church. God wants all people to have opportunity to know truth. And when you see people that don't have the truth and you see the direction they're going, your heart ought to break. Because you know the end of it. You know where it's going to lead them. So the Bible says in the Great Commission, take it to them. Go. You have the truth. Stand in the truth. And when you have an opportunity to share the truth, share the truth. You can't force feed it, but people are looking for something. They know there's something better. They know that there's help out there, and they don't know where to go to get it. And most of the times they go somewhere thinking they're going to get the help, and they're going to a place where they're going to get the false teachings. They don't have a true prophet. They don't have a true pastor. They don't have a true shepherd, and they get led astray. Just as they did in Jeremiah's day. Take it to them, knowing what it can do. Verse 29, is not my word like as a fire? I love that. Fire is amazing. It can harden the clay or soften the wax. See, the clay needs to be hardened, and God says, my word can do what needs to be done in that life. It's like a fire. If it needs to be used to harden, it can be used to harden. If it needs to be used to soften, it's amazing. The same fire that hardens a clay softens a wax. The same fire that destroys and burns down is used to heat and bring warmth. Powerful. God's word is like that. Whatever the need, God's word is the solution. Yeah. It's also like a hammer. Look at what it says there. It says, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. I'm glad we have hammers. Amen. You know, you tried to use substitutes and that heel of the shoe and whatever it might be. But when you get the proper tool to do the job, what a great blessing it is to have a hammer. If you're building a house, what a great thing it is to have a hammer. It can be used to build the house. And when you're tearing down, when you're pulling out nails and pulling down walls, amen, what a good thing it is to have a claw hammer. The very same thing God says, my word can do that. It can be used as it needs to be used. It can be used to help you to build your house, to build your life, to strengthen your home. It can also be used to tear down those strongholds of sin. If you'll use it. The Bible's a tool that God intends for us to use. We just need to use it. Stand in His counsel and cause them to hear. And then lastly, look there with me, the last of verse 22. Then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. You're standing where you ought to stand, using the Bible as we ought to use it, you can help them to turn from their evil. You don't help people by minimizing their sin. No parent helps their child by giving them an excuse for their behavior. No parent helps their child by keeping them from the consequences of their sin, bailing them out every time they get in trouble. Putting it on somebody else. You don't help your child. You don't help those that are living in sin by minimizing their sin. You help those that are living in sin by maximizing God's grace. What you did was horrible, no matter what it is. And as they're younger, I mentioned this before, Cherie had such a tender heart when she was younger. I mean, she just thought she said a bad word. She would come and be crying and say, we said bad words. Crystal used to take advantage of it. And she used to a lot of times use this over her and said, I'm going to tell you said a bad word. And the bad word was heck or something like that. And then she would think that she was going to be in so much trouble. And she wouldn't even wait for Crystal to tell. She'd come and tell her mom. Tears in her eyes, broken over it. I said a bad word. We didn't say, oh, honey, you can say whatever you want to say. You can use any kind of language that you want to use. Don't worry about it. No. If you're broken over it, then I'm glad to see you broken over it. That's not proper English. You shouldn't use those kind of words. But honey, there's grace and forgiveness. Mom and Dad love you. If you're broken over it, you're forgiven. If you've broken over that, that's what we want. Can I tell you that what God wants to see out of His children is a broken heart? An acknowledgement that I'm guilty of sin, but I'm grieved over it. I wish I hadn't have done it. I can't go back and undo what I've done. But Lord, I have a sorrow for the sin. And Lord, with your help, I never want to do that again. So God, today I want to confess. And not only do I want to confess it, I want to forsake it. And when we do that, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't minimize the sin. He maximizes His grace and mercy. But they were saying to them, God's grace allows you to do whatever you want to do. You can live however you want to live, and you can do whatever you want to do. Don't think twice about it. And they were false prophets. We help people by helping them to acknowledge sin and then repent of that sin. Then help them to learn how to start sinning less. Let me help you to know what you need to do in order to stay right with God and is to stay around the things of God. Come out from among them and be separated from that which is going to lead you in a wrong direction. And won't you start coming to church every time the church doors are open, not forsake the assembling of yourself together, because every time you come to church, you're going to be reminded of God. You're going to have a chance to sing praises unto Him. You're going to hear messages from song that represent the truths of God's Word. You're going to hear the Bible message preach every service. And that's going to help you to know what you need to do. If you truly are sincere about it, and you don't want to live in sin, then I can help you to learn how to start sinning less. And how to start sinning less is coming out of the world and getting drawn closer to God in His ways and His will. Jeremiah says that in verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. It starts with a broken heart. Are we as concerned about our society as we ought to be? A message from Jeremiah. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not concerned, you're never going to make a change. You're never going to take the stand that God wants you to stand. And without you taking that stand, others will be impacted by your failure to represent Christ to them. Let's receive the message that God had for us through the mouth, the writings of Jeremiah. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. And I pray, God, that we would have a burden for our society and our generation. That as we walk close to You, that we would be able to see the truth, even though society will be blinded to it. And God, as we look to You and see the truth, then I pray that we would be mindful of what You would have us to do that would make a difference. Lord, I pray that You'd work now in the midst. Help each one here to make the application that You have given to them concerning the message. And I pray that lives would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.